Good evening. I am Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Polysports here on Global Patriot Radio. Find us on Blog Talk Radio several days a week, Mondays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The Vito Esposito Show featuring Vito and Big Al. Mamma Mia, No Sharia. Vito had a great show Monday. Done some good, I don't say ranting. I mean, we do call them rants when we're talking on the phone about it, but it was not. It was straight up legit stuff. Great stuff. And then, of course, me, Hank Jones, Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern. I talk politics and sports at those unfortunate times when the two collide. And then Saturday nights, Minister Usama Dakduk and the beautiful Christie from 10 p.m. to midnight, revealing the truth about Islam. And that one, folks, get your thinking caps on. One, you learn a ton, but two, you really got to stay up with what he's, I mean, they are so far, I don't want to say ahead. One, he's very committed in his faith, and he's very absolute about what he basically is telling you, the truth about Islam. Give it a listen sometime, if you don't want to watch Pac-12 football, which you won't have to anyway anymore because Pac-12 football is done. But give it a listen sometime. I don't, you know, Saturday night's not the easiest time for me, but I have given it a listen. And you know, it's really good to listen after hours if you can't do it live on a Saturday night. I get that. So I am hanging out here in the official Hank Jones Polysports Space Force Observation Outpost. Mini Aussie, fed. Jumping high. Shoulder high, usually, and that's conservative. She can jump higher than that. Mike and I will talk about this later. Awesome launch Sunday night that I could not see outside. I was going to go outside, then I realized I got to get up early, so I watched it on TV. I cheated, but, you know. The launch angle wasn't going to give me this superhuman awesome view anyway from Orlando. If I were paddling over on the coast, yeah, I'd have been there for it. My weekly statement, Barack Obama orchestrated or covered up the circumstances of the death of Tafari Campbell. Changed my mind. You got less than 2 hours to do it. Speaking of which, that's how you interact with our show. You listen live. Come into blogtalkradio.com. Click the live button. Go to chatters. Look for Global Patriot Radio, or do that, but get an account, log in, get into the chat, because there are several people in the chat right now. Indy Hawk is in there, Snowman James, a.k.a. Duck, Northwest Media, and Boyd the Alaskan, who says, hey, Grandpa, that's correct. I am still a grandpa. I am excited. I'm getting pictures of my little buddy all the time. It's quite awesome. Oh, Mike hung up. I hope Mike comes back on, because Mike's going to be on the show later. Mike's kind of important to the show. The other way you can do it, if you want to listen in, dial up this number, 319-527-6706. You can listen along. You can also click the one on your phone, which lets me know you have something to say. Again, if I don't know you or you've never called in, do me a favor, come into the chat room and tell me you're calling. And, you know, what you're calling about. Because if you're just going to call blind, I've had too many of them lately. I should say lately, period, where people call in, hit the one, and they decide to say something cute. I mean, seriously, if you're an adult and you want to hear yourself swear on the radio, you're a loser. Anybody can swear on the internet. It's been done. It's been done for a long time now. So grow up. Ways to interact offline. You can email me, hjpsports1980@gmail.com. You can go to Facebook and type in Hank Jones Polysports. I'll tell you what, I'm not, like I said, I go to Facebook these days just to get my free Candy Crush play in each day. I do interact with some friends. I'll occasionally post some paddle pictures, but the way we've changed our format of how we do photos on our tour, so that's, I let the owners of the company do all that stuff, let them do the posting. They give me credit when it's due, so to speak. Or X, formerly known as Twitter, at HPolySports. I like interacting there. Lately I've been getting a little bit snarko. A couple people have posted stuff, and I'm just, you know, I've been after Nikki Haley a little bit, and Mesa Clone, person I think I know who it is, did point out to me, I said to Nikki, if you're really serious about running against President Trump and then running against President Biden, are you willing to commit to finding out the truth about, you know, what happened? Hold the Biden and the Joseph Biden and Barack Obama accountable. Are you willing to pursue treason charges against them? And basically said anybody who would do that would have an immediate 10% drop in the polls. Public, and that they would do that, that's correct. They would have a 10% drop in the polls. But any Dem that would say that, I mean, God, people have run on that against President Trump. That's how people ran their campaigns. Admittedly not for president, but although Dopey Joe, I think, said he was going to take him out back and beat the hell out of him or something like that. I mean, you know how that goes. Dopey Joe. So people call me out when I do something stupid or say something kind of pushy. I'm going to text Mike here while I'm talking. Are you able to come on? If not, I'll talk to Brother Tommy, because Brother Tommy's listening. I'm going to talk to him anyway, but I'll just talk to him longer. Hopefully Mike comes back into the phones. So let's see what else is going on. So we got our first Babylon Bee Laffy. Biden recounts the time he parted the Red Sea to escape slavery in Mexico. The funny thing about that is I don't know that he's actually said that, but he will. Our second Laffy is also from the Babylon Bee. 9 surprising findings from Joe Biden's physical. Number one, he arrived with his stool sample already in his pants. The suspicious mole on his arm was just melted chocolate ice cream. The crayon up his nose has been pressing on the frontal lobe of his brain all this time. Tapeworm living inside him that he's nicknamed Barack. He's under the impression that his wife is a doctor. His cognitive ability is the best of any president in history. Wait a second. Who threw that one in there? That's not true. And there are currently 3 different types of dementia warring for supremacy in his brain. That really much, pretty much says, yeah, that's really more like it. That's what Dopey Joe is experiencing. Last week's losses that I deem significant. Here's one I can't believe I missed. Back on February 11th, we lost marathon world record holder Kelvin Kiptum of Kenya, along with his coach, a guy named Jervis Hakizimana. They were in a car crash near Kaptagat, which is in Kenya. He won the London Marathon in 2023 in a time of 2 hours, 1 minute, 25 seconds. He then lowered it in October at the Chicago Marathon, clocked 2 hours, 0 minutes, 35 seconds. Given he was only 24 years old, he most likely would have been the first runner to achieve a legit sanctioned time of under 2 hours for that event, which would be mind-boggling and groundbreaking. Fellow Kenyan Eliud Kipchoge did run 1 hour 59 minutes and 40 seconds in Vienna back in 2019. However, that run really wasn't legit. He had a steady stream of pacemakers, 41 to be exact. He had literally 41 guys pace setting throughout the race. That's more than one per mile. He also had an electric timing car riding alongside him. Now, look, that's a great accomplishment, the help notwithstanding. But Kelvin Kiptum ran his 2 amazing marathons basically on his own, having to strategize his pace and his race tactics. I mean, that's a sad and terrible loss. It really is. Last Wednesday, we lost Virgil, a.k.a. Mike Jones. He had several other monikers, at the age of 72 from stroke and dementia complications. WWF/WWE fans will remember him as Virgil, the bodyguard and henchman for the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. Virgil later joined WCW, where he, along with about 50 others, joined the NWO. Yeah, remember that? We also lost musical and sound technician Bob Heil at age 83. He invented, among other things, the Heil Talk Box in 1973, which you've definitely heard. It featured prominently in the sound of Peter Frampton for his Frampton Comes Alive album. It is still used today and has been used by Richie Sambora of Bon Jovi and Joe Walsh. Remember the song Rocky Mountain Way? Yeah, that was the Bob Heil talk box. He was also noted he bailed out the Grateful Dead during a 1970 North American tour. The Dead sound man was not allowed to leave California. He had some major drug charges. And the Dead were, I guess you could say, sort of dead in St. Louis. They needed a large, capable sound system, and Bob Heil was able to provide that for them immediately. Now, the next day, which was Leap Day, the 29th, we lost another pro wrestler, Paul Vachon, a.k.a. Butcher Vachon, of the famed Canadian wrestling family that bears that last name. He was 86. He wrestled during the heyday of the territories, Georgia Championship Wrestling, the AWA, the NWA, and the WWF before it became the WWE. He'd actually undergone numerous cancer treatments. A longtime survivor. Started back in the 1980s and 90s. He actually retired from the ring in 1985. And then we also lost former Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker Andy Russell. He was 82. He was the third linebacker in that very prolific Steelers defense of the 1970s, played alongside Jack Hamm and Jack Lambert. They backed up the Steel Curtain. That was the Steelers defensive line. He played his entire career, 12 years, with the Steelers. I went to college at Missouri, earned two different degrees there, a bachelor's and a master's in economics. He actually left. He played one season with the Steelers and then left for a couple of years to fulfill some ROTC commitments. Then came back, won two Super Bowls, had 18 interceptions, including a pick six in a playoff game against the Baltimore Colts. And finally, on Leap Day, we lost former Canadian Prime Minister Brian Mulroney at age 84 following or after a fall. He had a fall and evidently never recovered. He was conservative, but he also promoted environmentalism, including a treaty with the United States to address acid rain. Saturday, the 2nd of March, we lost former NHLer Tim Ecclestone at age 76. Played with the St. Louis Blues, Detroit Red Wings, Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Atlanta Flames. And back in third grade, I had his trading card. I got it for the bubblegum. We also lost blues singer and guitarist Wesley Curley Clark at age 84. He was a major influence in the Austin, Texas blues scene. Played alongside, he mentored, actually, Charlie and Will Sexton, sang alongside Luann Barton and the Vaughn brothers, Jimmy and the late Stevie Ray. And Sunday, we lost former sports journalist Chris Morton to throat cancer. He was 72. Mort, that was his nickname. He was a big part of ESPN's NFL coverage. He was a pioneer in that he covered them. He was the first to really cover the NFL year-round for ESPN. He stayed with the coverage throughout the year. Usually sports guys went to other sports after their season was over. He did not. He was considered a pioneer in doing year-round. Don't forget, my friend and former guest on this show, Felicia Goodson, and her family, going through treatment for cancer, and sounds like all is going well, but let's keep her in our prayers, please. And don't forget my friends at Alliance Communications, Central Florida's premier 24-hour call center, messaging and answering service for your clinic, hospital, service company, real estate management, property management. Great company. They work with remote staff. So if you're in that game, you'd like to work remotely, consider that as well. Give them a call, 800-555-3738, or go to alliancecommunications.com. This is another Laffy, although it's actually a story from the Los Angeles Times, printed as printed by Yahoo. This is real. I mean, I presume, because it's not April 1st, so I'm going to say this is real. A California man is the first in the United States to be charged with smuggling greenhouse gases. San Diego man has been arrested on suspicion of smuggling potent greenhouse gases into the United States from Mexico, becoming the first in the nation to be charged with smuggling the environmentally harmful gases that are commonly used as refrigerants, according to federal prosecutors. Michael Hart, 58, is accused of hiding the hydrofluorocarbons, also known as HFCs, in his vehicle to transport them across the border from Mexico, according to a news release from the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of California. HFCs are considered a major driver of global warming and have been targeted in climate legislation and treaties worldwide. In 2022, the refrigerants became illegal to import in the U.S. without allowances from the EPA. He was arrested Monday. He pleaded not guilty. His attorney with the Federal Defenders of San Diego did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Tara McGrath, the U.S. attorney for the Southern District, said in a statement, "This is the first time the Department of Justice is prosecuting someone for illegally importing greenhouse gases, and it will not be the last. We are using every means possible to protect our planet from the harm caused by toxic pollutants, including bringing criminal charges." Posted the refrigerants for sale across online sites such as OfferUp and Facebook Marketplace and sold them for a profit. Well, of course he did. That's what you're supposed to do. In addition to the greenhouse gases, the indictment says he imported HCFC-22, another ozone-depleting substance highly regulated by federal officials. This is a real story. We literally have a guy being prosecuted for smuggling greenhouse gases. Arrested in the United States, arrested for smuggling greenhouse gases. I just don't even get it. I don't get it. Smuggling greenhouse gases. And it's a charge. And like I said, I thought it was Internet Laffy. I posted it as Internet Laffy because it's funny as hell, but yet it's not. In other breaking news, with Mitch McConnell's retirement, Ukraine to lose top Republican Senate seat. That's a Laffy, folks. That is an actual Laffy. Stuff. Yeah, so AP poll, 63% of Americans doubt Dopey Joe's mental capability. That's low. 63% say they're not very or not at all confident in his capability to serve effectively. That means there are 37% who don't. I'm not saying that he's doing a good job even. That's 37% that aren't friggin' terrified by this guy serving as our president. New York Times poll, Trump leads Biden by 5 points. Nikki Haley's funders have dropped out of the race. I say it like that because, well, one, she declares that she's no longer bound to support Trump. She says when she was asked, well, when you all ask if Donald Trump, if he would support me, then I'll talk about that. Well, first of all, she was on NBC's Meet the Press. She says, first of all, if you talk about an endorsement, you're talking about a loss. I don't think like that. You should have been. You weren't going to win. She says, I don't think Donald Trump or Joe Biden should be president. But yeah, her funders have dropped out. And according to the Politico story that I picked up, Biden's campaign says his Joe Biden and his allies intend. Joe Biden doesn't intend anything anymore, people. They intend to bury Trump in campaign cash, hoping that the president's financial advantage will be the equalizer in a race that's becoming more of an uphill climb for the president. This cycle, they're expecting $2.7 billion to be spent on just the presidential campaign. Future Forward and American Bridge, two different pro-Biden PACs, are pledging $250 million and $200 million respectively. That's half a billion dollars from two PACs. Biden's campaign said groups allied with them have committed to spending more than $700 million. So it'll be earlier, it'll come earlier than when Obama's allies began turning up the heat on Mitt Romney. I need to learn from these folks. I mean, they're obviously experts at money laundering, the fact they're able to do all this. Isn't it amazing that this dude, that this campaign and everything, that they do this, and yet they're constantly fighting to keep our government running? But yeah, so that's what they're going to do. They're going to just basically flood the money in, and then hopefully that will turn the tide. By the way, here's who the IRS is targeting this tax season. This is from the Epic Times. This is real brief. I'm just touching on these. Prioritizing high-income cases. They say $400,000 is a safe distance away from where most taxpayers are. Four new initiatives that they announced in October. Non-filers earning over $400,000. They announced on Leap Day that will narrow its focus on 125,000 cases of taxpayers with annual incomes over $400,000 who failed to file tax returns between 2017 and 2021. Here's a question. Maybe one of y'all in the chat room can answer it, or somebody on the phones. How do they know that there are that many non-filers who earned over $400,000 who didn't file? Just asking. Just, you know. Also, private jet flyers. They're going after private jet flyers. Individuals who use corporate aircraft for both business and personal travel, but don't categorize the expenses properly, and so they may owe taxes. They said on February 21st, there hadn't been enough scrutiny of this. So that's a quickie. Mitch McConnell has endorsed President Trump. You know, I made that little laughy that Ukraine is losing their Republican Senate seat. He is endorsing Trump for president as of today. He announced it today. He unveiled the endorsement only after Nikki Haley announced that she was dropping out. I mean, only after Nikki Haley's funders announced that they were dropping her out. He said it's abundantly clear that former President Trump has earned the requisite support of Republican voters to be our nominee for President of the United States. It should come as no surprise that as nominee, he will have my support. He said during his presidency, we worked together to accomplish great things for the American people, including tax reform that supercharged our economy and a generational change of our federal judiciary, most importantly, the Supreme Court. I look forward to the opportunity of switching from playing defense against the terrible policies of the Biden administration to a sustained offense geared toward making a real difference in improving the lives of the American people. By the way, I was listening to Levin's show on, when was I listening? I was telling Brother Tommy, it must have been Monday night. Yeah, it was Monday night. I was listening to Levin on his SiriusXM. He had Kevin McCarthy on. And McCarthy said he's going to work toward, you know, getting Republicans elected. He also said that as much maligned as McConnell is, that McConnell worked very well with McConnell, and said, don't just discount this, that, you know, Mitch McConnell. He's worked hard for conservative causes. He's maybe, to some people, he's gotten along too well, but he has worked hard. He has advocated for conservatism all along. Another quick laughy. This one's good. Mike's going to like this. Tom, Brother Tommy, too. Cast of The View unanimously overturns SCOTUS decision. That was from the Babylon Bee. I bring it up because it's The View after all. So I'm going to bring in Mike, and then I'm going to bring in Brother Tommy. You guys are both on. How you guys doing, Brother Tommy?
Doing great. You forgot to do the disclaimer though.
What's that?
The sibling pass when it comes to listening to yourself swear on your show. You get a sibling pass.
No. I'm saying when people call up just to say swear words. It's like they're.
I know. It was a joke. It was a joke. In other words,
Mike,
I
do
that.
I'm doing good, Hank. How you doing, Tom?
Very good, guys. Thank you.
So Nikki Haley's funders have dropped out. Here's the next one. Dopey Joe on Super Tuesday actually had a primary loss. Did you guys hear that? He actually lost one of the primary races?
Yeah, the Samoan something or other.
Yeah, American Samoa to some guy named Jason Palmer beat him. And I don't know what that's about. I mean, you kind of discount it, it's not just what happened there. Remember what happened in Michigan, where no confidence or whatever it was actually, I think, had as many or more uncommitted beat him.
Yeah, that's,
I mean, that's
Kalib
like,
or whatever her name is, whichever
and
one's
that,
up
that
there.
That same thing happened in Minnesota. That was uncommitted was almost 20%, I think.
And they both have the members of the squad.
That was last night, yeah. And there's some other states where there was a high number of uncommitted too.
Unbelievable.
I'll tell you what blew my mind. What the hell happened in Vermont? Not that it matters, but.
Oh, I can tell you exactly what happened in Vermont.
Oh, the fact that the Democrats can vote for, open primary.
It's the ultimate Ben and Jerry's bean cutter eating, Birkenstock wearing type. And they all came out and voted for Haley because they hate Trump. That's what happened.
Totally my bad.
Here's the hierarchy in being a granola. So if you live at, first of all, your first move is not to California. Your first move in the upwardly mobile sandal-wearing, ponytail-wearing hierarchy. Your first move is to Asheville. You don't move to Asheville. And
you
got to start.
That guy in the famous debate with Bush, Clinton, and Perot said, can't we just all get along? That guy was from Vermont.
Yeah, well, no, but your first move is to Asheville, where you then you warm up by wearing corduroys and flannel shirts in July when it's 90 degrees, and of course, sandals. But you're there. Then this is where the conundrum comes in. This is where the real dilemma comes in. Your next move, see, if you make your next move, like if you've somehow retired before you're 50, then it's a no-brainer. You move to Taos, New Mexico. And it's like all your buddies tell you, oh, man, I so envy your inner serenity. And envy, I know, is bad, but I still envy it.
In between pops of coyote. Yeah.
Right. But the ultimate is when you hit about 70, and even though you've been bald most of your life, somehow you're post-70 and you're able to grow a ponytail now, and you make the move to Vermont. When you've done that, man, I mean, you're like, you're using Tom's of Maine deodorant. You are eating. In fact, Ben and Jerry's is too capitalist for you. You don't even eat Ben and Jerry's because it's like, man, those dudes are all about the money. I mean, that's what happened in Vermont. I mean,
I just felt
my question's been answered.
Bobby's old friend Flame in Vermont for many years. You know, he's kind of moving around in that area.
Who was there?
I think that was right before he became the head of the Canadian, state bank. So,
So,
well,
okay,
he
we're going
to the Birkenstock. He went through the Birkenstock phase.
I forgot about Birkenstocks. Yeah, you got
to find trying to find his inner vault.
So next up, real quick, Nick Saban talked about his retirement, it wasn't strictly about NIL, and it wasn't strictly about the attitudes of players. Okay, yeah, it was. Basically, he said the way some of his players reacted after the Rose Bowl, that was a, he says it wasn't the factor, but it was a huge factor. Does this shock anyone? And it does kind of shock me in a sense, because you think that Alabama is so disciplined. But basically, they were basically not upset. They didn't act. Some of them acted with no class. They were throwing their helmets and not being, they didn't have class and losing. That kind of shocked me, because I've always thought that he was, but then he said 70 to 80% of the players he talks to want to know about their playing time for the upcoming season and how much they'll be making in NIL. Does that shock either of you?
No, because it doesn't shock me in the least. Whole NIL thing has fed this kind of a mentality. It's to be expected.
But here's where it shocks.
It is definitely a case where
I thought they weren't even supposed to be talking NIL with coaches. I thought coaches had nothing to do with that. But evidently,
oh, come on.
Yeah, come on.
Who's being naive, Kate? Who's being naive, Kate?
Okay. So, okay, we're going to move on. So there have been some very idiotic and yet very entertaining responses from Big Left after the Supreme Court unanimously said states could not just eliminate President Trump from the ballot. There's Keith Olbermann's pulse on X, formerly known as Twitter, and I'll talk about that. I'll touch on that later. But there is this gem of a piece from Rex Hupke of USA Today. By the way, when you guys hear this, you'll understand what I mean when I say his knowledge of the Constitution is neck and neck with that of the aforementioned Keith Olbermann. This is gold. You got to hear this. If you guys haven't seen it, you got to hear this. This is absolutely hilarious. So he says, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of Donald Trump on Monday, affirming what those of us who studied the Constitution already knew. Each president is entitled to one free insurrection. At issue was Trump's name going on the primary ballot in Colorado. Six voters, four Republicans and two independents, sued to remove him from the state's ballot, claiming that the former president and current criminal defendant had engaged in insurrection, something he quite clearly did and, by his ongoing denial of the 2020 election results, continues to do to this day. By the way, can we change the goalposts and move them on the definition of insurrection? Yes, we can. He says, of course,
Do you ever hear them explain what Trump, not forget anybody else that rioted, and I think it's ridiculous with them too, it was a riot, but what did Trump do that was insurrectionary?
Nothing. So
They just say he's an insurrectionist. They don't provide any explanation.
He hasn't even been charged. He hasn't even been charged.
Exactly right. You know why he hasn't been charged? Because they couldn't make it.
Because he
didn't
do
it. For 1 second, Jack Smith wouldn't charge him with insurrection. There is a violation. There is a law that's an insurrection, the Insurrection Act. He won't charge him with that because he knows he couldn't do it. Do you think he would be reluctant to do it if he could?
Hank, let me say something real quick.
Go ahead, Brother Tommy, then I'm going to go on with this story.
Just give me the floor real quick.
Go for it.
When Olbermann and them say, we got to abolish the Supreme Court, this is how freaking ridiculous the Dems are. That's like saying Congress should be abolished because they gave money to a particular project, or the executive branch should be abolished abolished because of veto. They vetoed something they didn't like. It is so freaking childish, but that's the problem. People buy into
it. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you. Trust me.
Yeah. It's like, no way, he vetoed that? Let's get rid of the executive branch. Talk about your... If I can't play quarterback, I'm taking my football home mentality.
Well, you guys,
freaking amazing.
Puffin' Stuff is my new name for Rex Hupke. Puffin' Stuff goes on with this. Of course, that belief, confirmed by a Colorado judge who found Trump did engage in insurrection, only applies to those who have eyes and ears and saw and listened to everything Trump said and did before, during and after the insurrection on January 6, 2021. He has been nothing if not insurrection-y. Now, look, I told you this was gold. If this dude had a brain, this would be funny. I mean, this is funny. I mean, it's not very cogent, but it is funny. He says the Supreme Court wants presidents like Trump to fill their insurrection punch cards. But the Supreme Court justices must look at cases through the lens of our beloved Constitution, and somewhere in there, possibly, in a footnote, or maybe a part that's a little hard to read due to parchment aging and whatnot, it clearly says, each president shall be granted one insurrection free of consequences. Any additional insurrections will be considered on a case-by-case basis. Upon the fomenting of a sixth insurrection, the president shall be awarded 1-foot-long turkey and Virginia ham sandwich. Now, this guy, that's not unfunny part of it. I mean, it's stupid, but it's, I mean, put to proper use, this guy could be funny.
I read these things, and I sometimes feel like, wait a second, you guys are fucking with me. You're punking me.
You heard the original story I read about, Mike, you didn't hear it, but the first story I let off with, there's a guy in California that's been arrested for importing or, like, smuggling greenhouse gases into the United States. I mean, this is an actual thing, and he's been charged.
Why did you do that?
Who knows? Well, wait, this story goes on because it does get good, even better. That's what makes it understandable why the High Court on Monday unanimously ruled that a single state can't disqualify a presidential candidate. A Civil War era provision in the 14th Amendment cited by the Colorado voters, meaning those that construe it or misconstrue it as it was the voters of Colorado, not six people. He says anyone who previously pledged to support the Constitution as an officer of the United States can't go back into office after engaging in insurrection. I mean,
let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you exactly what happened with the Supreme Court on this one. They all looked at it and said, are you fucking kidding me? They threw it down, went out and had a $3 martini lunch and came back and said, right, guys? In other words, it's like, great. It gives us time. Talk about low-hanging fruit for a Supreme Court.
Well, you know, to show you how unhinged these people are is it was a unanimous decision that the states can't do this, what they were, you know, throwing Trump off the ballot. And it included Ketanji Brown Jackson, Sotomayor, and Lana Kagan. I mean, are these people in the tank for Trump? Come on. They can't explain it away. Because, I mean, you know, other than just through sheer insane talk, but, you know, you got a real problem when you got people like that throwing it out.
So Sotomayor is like, come on, fellas. Come on. I'm a fucking screaming lip.
Insanity. And this shouldn't surprise anybody, the insanity that was on The View. No, not on The View. It was on an MSNBC panel discussion the other night about when they were going through the exit polling on Super Tuesday, showing that all these voters, the top, that they couldn't believe that the top priority was immigration. And they were actually mocking and making fun of people. I think Rachel Maddow, Mad Cow as I call her, said something about how, yeah, you know, these voters in Virginia, apparently they're worried about the border with West Virginia or some stupid thing like that. And then that Jen, I'll circle back to Saki.
I've never heard Mad Cow. I love that.
Rachel Mad Cow. Yeah, that's what I call her.
Because of Mad Cow.
Hey, who's Jen Psaki's
successor,
her successor? Talk about the dumbest people in the – what's her name?
She's actually –
Mad Cow disease.
We don't know.
No,
this is not
her
been released,
successor.
Actually,
the one that's present day.
Yeah,
present
yeah.
Day.
Actually, yeah, the present day one is actually Sideshow Bob from The Simpsons. Sideshow Bob with the hair.
Sideshow
Bob.
I know she's getting up a couple hundred grand or whatever to protect the president.
That reminds me,
Come on, bitch. How dumb are you?
You know that this week is the March 4th, actually, it's the 30th anniversary of the death of our friend John Candy. So
It was such a shame.
They're showing some stuff about, you know, from him in the past at SCTV. It's just hilarious, all the characters.
Why didn't you bring that up, Hank, when it – Oh,
because
well,
I don't celebrate.
I don't celebrate
30-year anniversaries.
I caught myself. I just saw something about it. Yeah.
So missed.
So here's a quick question.
Yeah.
I mean, I know both of us, and when I say what's your guys' reaction, I mean, I know it's hilarity because we've been spending the last 8 minutes laughing. But seriously, Mike, in any way, did the unanimous decision, not on its merits. Did it surprise you that all three of the all of Kukla, Fran, and Ollie all voted with a majority?
No, you know what? It didn't surprise me because this was such a no-brainer, and it was so obviously, you know, the arbitrariness of what was happening with the Colorado Supreme Court and this Secretary of State who wasn't even elected up in Maine, and then this nutcase judge in Cook County, Illinois. It was so insane that, no, it doesn't surprise me. Now, there is a caveat in the opinion, and to some extent, I don't know if you guys, you don't want to get into the weeds too much, but there was an important point where it was a 5-4 split, and the majority went a little further than just saying that the states, these judges and the Secretary of State couldn't do this. They actually went a little further than that and started talking about the only way that anybody could be thrown off the ballot like they tried to do with Trump was specific legislation passed by Congress. That's it. Even other federal remedies, you couldn't go into federal court and try to sue. And that's because they know that if they aren't unequivocal about this, that these nutcases are going to come up with some other scheme to try to throw him off the ballot.
Which a couple of them already have.
Now,
the
Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, and then also to an extent, Amy Coney Barrett, didn't think they needed to go into that realm. I'm glad they did, actually. But yeah. Amy Coney Barrett just said, well, you know, divide the country. We need to unite the country. We don't need to, you know, it's bullshit. Doesn't mean she didn't agree with them. She just didn't think they needed to do it. The other three just didn't like it.
Yeah.
Agreed that they couldn't remove him.
Well, here's a question
I
have.
I don't get serious quite often. I joke about everything, but on this one, what Mike just discussed, I'll tell you what my feeling is. I think we're on a tipping point in this country, and had it not been 9-0, I would have been horrified. I would have been terrified if it was not 9-0.
Mike, do you think there's any of them? This is what I'm wondering, though. Do you think there's any of them that were, you know, sort of saying, you know, well, you know, I think, you know, there's merit to it, and that the other judges just simply, like, maybe Ketanji Brown Jackson was thinking, hell yes, we're going to do this, and the other judges just, like, turned on that laugh box at her and just said, you're an idiot.
It's quite surprising. I'm going to give her some credit here because I don't know if you listen
absolutely
to the
absolutely credit where credit's due. Absolutely.
At the oral argument, she and I think even Sotomayor were asking questions that made, you know, like, are you crazy?
Right. That's my
that's
point.
What they were saying. And so, I mean, this stuff, you know, you have to. It is even look when after that happened, when it first came out, when the Colorado Supreme Court issued their decision, I think it was back in December. If you go to a lot of the liberal pundits, they were happy, but they knew, and you could tell that they knew this was ridiculous and it wasn't going to stand.
Hawkeye Mike, can I ask you a quick question? You live in Colorado where that original ruling came down. Do they have it to the point now? Sure. I know that they have legal weed. Are they putting it in your guys' water?
I think our Supreme Court, you know, listen, they did a profile of some of these judges that are on the Colorado Supreme Court. And a couple of them were these Birkenstock Vermont types. Clearly
sure.
That was his background. Another one was two of them. There's two of them were women. Two of the four. It was a 4-3 decision, and two of them were both like openly lesbian. And,
Am I supposed to know that term Birkenstock?
Don't you know what Birkenstocks are? Those are the sandals. They're like leathery. Open sandals, the wooden type sole. The only time you see a pair of clean Birkenstocks is in the friggin' store before they are sold.
It's a brand name.
The second the receipt comes out of the cash register, those things are like.
Okay. Now I know.
I hope
go ahead,
I hope nobody out in the audience listening is a Birkenstock wearing ponytail-wearing hippie. But look, if you are, your next Herman Hesse book is on me. How's that? I mean,
just say if anyone wants to call in and defend Birkenstocks, you know, now's the time to do it.
So wait a second. So we had the piece from Rex Hupke. Oh, my wife pointed out that my grandson may have a pair of Birkenstocks already. If so,
you're going to have a long city talk job.
Yeah. Actually, my daughter had a pair of Birkenstocks when she was younger. Somebody bought them for her, not me. But she's a girl.
Wait,
but that's
your grandson's only a few weeks old, though, right?
I know. He's 2 weeks old as of Monday. But that doesn't matter.
That sounds like child abuse.
No, they don't. Let's put it this way. The race might be on between his first pair of Birkenstocks and his first Hawkeye gear, so I don't care.
I'm one of these. I'm so bad. I'm one of these. When I see someone wearing sandals, I don't know what flavor they are, Birkenstock or whatever. My judgment says, no, stay away from them.
And
I don't like people
that
wear sandals.
Hank will remember this from our days at Iowa. You know who the crowd is that was wearing Birkenstocks then? Remember the wave? Those new wave clowns? I actually had a friend that I knew in high school. It was from a different town. Shows up down at Iowa, and he's in the new wave. And I was like, what the hell happened to you?
Well, remember Birkenstocks. Speaking of those guys, like, do you remember
Hank,
the kid?
Let me ask you a quick question.
Did he wear Birkenstock? I don't know.
You'll be able to reference it for Mike. I don't know the names. Who's that law professor? We had one college paper Iowa that was very conservative. And I actually took his class. He was international law. The liberal professor. You don't remember his name?
At Iowa?
Always made fun of him. The conservative paper did.
I didn't know anybody who was a law professor at Iowa because I didn't go there to law school. I guess we could, if Hank has the number, we could try to reach out.
What was his name?
It
might come back up. I knew his name, but he was a campus name for the conservatives because the campus. You guys know the name of the campus conservative paper. What was that called again?
It was Campus Review. Jeffrey Renander.
Campus Review.
Yeah, Renander. That guy was a right winger, though. He wasn't.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying Campus Review was who made fun of that law professor.
They would make fun of the aforementioned law professor. God damn it. Right. If I could come up with his name, you guys would know it.
The guy that was the president of the student body got arrested outside 620 for disorderly conduct. He was probably
The ultimate Birkenstock wearer was that guy who was on the cover of the Daily Iowan who burned his mock draft card because he was only 17 and didn't have one yet. So with the other people there in Iowa, he burned his mock draft card and let them put that in the newspaper. I mean, good Lord.
Yeah, he's going around saying, it's a shame there isn't a war to protest right now.
I know.
It's created a big void in my
How did we turn out normal? How in hell did we turn out normal? I don't know. But
I knew like, this is ridiculous. I read the regular campus rag, and I'm like, oh, my God. I think, Hank, with you and me, it was upbringing in the sense that you're going to generally gravitate towards the political views that your folks have. I would listen to other people. I'm like, God damn it. What did your parents do to you?
So I think several people on here that are wanting to come on. So this is gonna be good. Okay, wait a second. I do have to read this before I have these folks on because we got to get our really good laugh in today. I'm going to read again Keith Olbermann's. because this is just too good not to. This is what he said. This guy's neck and neck with Huff and Stuff, Hupke. This is what he says. The Supreme Court has betrayed democracy. Its members, including Jackson, Kagan, and Sotomayor, have proved themselves inept at reading questions. And collectively, the court, and he put court in quotations, has shown itself to be corrupt and illegitimate. It must be dissolved. Now, wait a second. Wasn't he, the ones that he named, those three, was he not like lauding them just days ago about stuff?
We're being punked. I'm telling you, we're being punked.
He can't be that stupid.
Ann Coulter said he was the dumbest man on the planet, and that his Cornell degree wasn't a real one.
I'm going to bring him in a certain order. I'm going to bring him in a certain order. This is a guy from area code 630. Brother Tommy knows who he is because I'm pretty sure. Okay.
Yes.
Welcome to Hank Jones Polysports. Is this Rick?
It is.
Hey, Rick. This is Hank. Welcome to the show. So we're laughing up about some Keith Olbermann's tweet. If you saw that, did you see his tweet by any chance?
No, I unfortunately did not. I'm getting onto your show a little late this afternoon, so I haven't heard the beginning part. But just wanted to come on and say hi to Brother Tommy and to you, Hank.
Hello, Rick. Well, it's good talking to you. Stay on for a little bit. So this is what you may have heard. Keith Olbermann tweeted, the Supreme Court has betrayed democracy. Its members, including his three hallowed, Jackson, Kagan, et cetera, have proved themselves inept at reading comprehension, and collectively the court has shown itself to be corrupt and illegitimate. It must be dissolved. I don't even know what... Mike, I'll start with you on this really quick. Did you expect either this level of meltdown or this complete lack of knowledge? I mean, I would understand them saying – go ahead. I'm sorry.
The depth of insanity and meltdown never ceases to amaze me on the left when they don't get their way. We all remember what election night 2016, if you wanted to see some true hysteria and some true meltdowns. That night was very memorable, and apparently the same reaction has been sprung by the Supreme Court's 9-0 decision.
I just don't even know where to go with this.
What's going
to
happen? Their heads are going to explode when they come out with a decision that finds that presidents are entitled to some level of immunity and remand back to the Supreme Court for the
And then
that's just a prelude to November 5th, when the meltdown really goes ballistic when they declare Trump the winner at 2 in the morning or whatever it is.
Don't they have to stop the count first? So, Mike, let's get to that. I was going to hold off on that, but let's get to that right now. So the immunity issue, you said something very interesting on our chat the other day. It was a great take, and then notwithstanding those idiots, there are people, by the way, on Twitter who are literally confusing the Colorado case with immunity. There are people that are saying the Supreme Court gave Trump immunity and let him on the ballot. It's like, are you people stupid? What about reading comprehension? Keith Olbermann skipped. So, Mike, you had a possible outcome of the decision, and do you want me to remind you what you started to say, or?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, basically, here's you basically said, and I don't want to get too basically. Here's how you said it. We got a lot of Caitlin Clark stuff in this thread too. So that's what you get when you get Iowa people on the phone together. So basically, what you said was that the Supreme Court. We've had a lot of stuff.
Verb, Hank, for God's
sake. I'm sorry, trying to think. So here's what he said. He said, just had an interesting take. The Supreme Court won't make a decision that Trump has or does not have immunity. What they will do is direct the lower court to apply some sort of test based on the specifics of each charge. So go ahead with that.
Yeah, and it's this as a disclaimer. I've heard some other pundits talk about this, and it makes eminent sense to me as putting on my modest
legal hat for a minute. And it's basically this. Well, first of all, think about what happened. So you remember in the run-up to them deciding to take the immunity case, everybody was, all the pundits, you know, showed you how smart they are. Oh, they aren't going to take this. There's, you know, immunity. This is a joke. There's no chance. Lo and behold, they take the case. Now, the Supreme Court has decided to take this case. It's probably not because they think that the trial court and the Court of Appeals decisions were perfect, because if they were, why would you take the case? You know, they did. They got it right. They're
right.
Probably taking it because they have concerns with what they said, because what they said was that the president has no immunity, essentially, and they particularly said the Court of Appeals actually made the crazy statement that any immunity that he might have ends the minute he walks out of the office, which, if you think about it for a minute, makes no sense at all. What good is immunity for your conduct and actions while you're president if you can be held criminally liable for them the minute you leave office? Makes no sense. I mean, that's no immunity at all. It's a dead letter. It's a joke. I mean, it only makes a difference as if it goes, you know, you cannot be prosecuted. So what they will say is, you try to read tea leaves about the Supreme Court, you're going to be wrong. But I have a suspicion, and a lot of people smarter than me have a suspicion, that what they're going to say is, forget Trump. The real question is, does a president of the United States have immunity from criminal prosecution to some extent for their actions while they're president? And that they will say it's not absolute, but they do have some immunity. So they'll probably come up with some sort of test of how to determine whether they have immunity or not. And then what they'll say is, we're an appellate court. We need to develop the record and maybe find more facts specific to this case. And they'll remand it back to the district court to do that and to determine whether applying whatever test they come up with, and we can talk about what that might be if you want to, they'll say, applying that test to the fact of what Trump did, is he entitled to immunity? And they'll make the district court do the fact-finding and record development, and then, of course, that would be subject to appeal, whatever that, you know, I wouldn't expect Shutkin to be favorable, but they would have to make a findings, and then it could go to the Court of Appeals and eventually back to Supreme Court. Well, 2 years from now, you might get a final resolution on things.
Hank,
right.
Real quick. I'll make this real quick, Hank. Real quick. Did you know that your nephew got elected to – he's going to be corrupted as hell, but he got elected – you did know that? He got elected to the Superior Court?
Yes,
in
I
California.
Did know that.
All right.
Yeah, I have a nephew who's now a Superior Court judge in California.
What? Who's that?
A nephew of ours. I don't want to go ahead.
They have elections for court, that level of court. He got elected to one of the superior courts in California.
Who's our nephew? But
Hank's and my nephew.
But he's not in the. He's not in the. He's not in San Francisco or L.A. Let's put it that way. He's in a less frantic and less lunatic.
That's their main trial court. Superior court, the main trial court of the.
Yeah, no. I'm proud of him. I mean, he's definitely.
He was a local judge, the way I get it, and then he got elected.
Yeah.
I just didn't know if Hank knew that. But
He's our nephew. Don't forget, I have a niece.
One of your sister's kids or something? Or?
Yeah. We have a niece. Brother Tommy and I have a niece that's 50 years old. I'm going to be 51, so we're not young. I mean, you're the same age as me, Mike. But I mean, that's what I'm saying is, we have kids, you know. So.
No, it's an achievement, Hank. I just didn't know if you knew that. I found out this morning.
Look, I have a question for Rick. Rick, do you still live in Illinois where we are from?
Yes, I do. I'm still stuck in this hellhole of a tax-raping government.
Okay, and where are you still in the area where we grew up, or are you
relatively close? I'm within 40 minutes, so.
Okay.
Just a little farther west.
So at least you don't have people like breaking into your local Walmart in the daylight hours, like day after day type stuff. I mean, you're not Chicago then, obviously. So.
No, we're far enough out from Chicago that we haven't really felt that kind of that kind of danger. But, you know, the more that they start, they keep giving and giving and giving, and the more they keep the people that are doing those kind of things are moving farther west. It just seems to be expanding farther and farther west. We've had at least three shootings in my small area in the last 5 years, and it's scary. It's scary the way it's just expanding its way all the way out here.
Yeah.
Rick's in a suburb, Hank.
I know. Well, we were from a suburb. I just wondered if he was near there or if he was closer to the city. I mean, you know,
no,
sometimes
but the point
people...
being it's even expanding to the suburb.
No.
That's
yeah.
the point.
No, yeah, so I'm even farther out than the suburbs. I'm out in the country.
Okay.
Very, very near DeKalb. So,
is that yours? And I hear screaming in the background. Is that crime going on?
No, that's me. That's me right next to the window. That's me right next to the window. I'm moving out.
Brother Tommy's got crime in his area, no doubt.
Okay.
Yeah, my bad. I moved over.
No, so you're near DeKalb now. Is the local? I mean, is the Congress? Do they elect Democrat congressmen there, or do they have Republican congressmen in there in that area?
It's Illinois. Republicans don't have a prayer out here.
Well, there are some. You're not in Adam Kingsinger's old district, are you?
Yes.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yes.
Oh,
that's
wow.
one of the few Republican areas of Illinois, isn't it? I mean, that guy got.
I think if you go further south, you got a little bit more. You have some sanity down there, but
I will tell you this: that I'm actually surprised that the crime rate out here has increased so much. Because I was talking to an old farmer down the street, and you know, most of us are very well armed with legal weaponry, and. We were talking about, you know, you worried about people coming out here and causing trouble and you know, threatening your life. And he said, nah. He said, I don't have any problem with that. He said, I'm well prepared to protect myself. And he said, it's real easy to get rid of the evidence with all the hog farms around here. I mean, these old boys out here, they don't play around. I mean, they really don't.
Well, I learned from someone, you know, I'm in an area near Orlando that still doesn't have sewer. We're still on septic because it just, you know, it's expensive to convert it and all that stuff. But somebody said, well, you know, if you really want to kill someone and have the evidence, just throw them down your septic tank. That'll make them disappear in 2 days. I'm like, what? I'm a little afraid that somebody knows that. I mean, kind of deal. So Kinzinger's seat, is he out? I forget. He's out, right? He's not in right now. He went out in 2022. Am I correct?
I believe so.
Okay. But whoever ran for the Republican lost, if I remember correctly. So it's kind of a moot point. So you're closer to DeKalb, and that. So that's kind of, at least it's a little more rural. It's not, I know it's growing and all that, but I mean, you know, with a sanctuary city like Chicago, they just, you know, want, they get them in there, and they'll just send them out west. I mean, the last thing they want is, you know, suburbs that don't see with the, you know, that don't follow in lockstep with them. So that's got to be kind of a scary feeling. I mean, having both a governor and a mayor who are absolute idiots. I mean, you know.
Well,
I mean,
the really scary thing is we're far enough out that we kind of, my wife and I have talked about it. We said, you know, we're not too worried about them dropping a busload of migrants out here. But yet then I heard, I don't know, a few months ago that they actually dropped some people off near Mendota. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's an hour southwest of us. You know, what are they doing? Why are they sending them out there? Well, then, of course, you know, came back, oh, we thought we were in Chicago. Yeah, okay. What are you, an idiot? You know how to use Google? You don't know how to use Google Maps anymore?
Yeah, the skylines are remarkably similar, aren't they? I mean,
So, you know, it's just insane. This whole migrant thing, you know, look, I have a heart and I can feel for people that are being persecuted and are having trouble in their countries. And I believe that the United States still is, yes, the country of dreams, and but you got to follow the rules. And our system is so backed up right now that even if Biden used executive order and shut everything down temporarily and said, hey, we're going to stop, no more, you know, go back to where you were, put them back in their countries until we get caught up, I think it would be 10 years before we ever be able to get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think you're right, because they've waved in about 10 million people in the last 3 years. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Maybe more than that. Maybe 15.
Yeah, their estimates are as high as 15 or even 20. Yep.
Yeah, I got it.
You know, Biden is out there, and people are calling for him to use executive order to do it, but he won't do it because then he's admitting that what he did originally by getting rid of the stay-in-place order that was put in, you know, was right and he was wrong. He'll never do that. So what do? They do that BS bill where they stick a bunch of stuff in there for Ukraine and Israel, all well knowing that the Republicans are never going to allow that to go through. And now they can just turn around, point the finger and say, hey, it's your fault now. It's your fault. And, you know, this poor young girl down in Georgia that got killed, you know, people are always saying, people are saying, oh, well, you know, if they would have never let him in, that wouldn't have happened. Oh, okay, well, hindsight's always 20/20.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Democrats are screaming, well, if the bill would have gone through, we wouldn't have these problems. That guy was in way, way, way before that bill was even thought.
Oh, not only that, he'd been several other, you know, incidents with him. This wasn't his first rodeo. I mean, you know, this is just the first one that.
Well, his rap sheet's longer than my wee wee. Yeah.
Well, that's not saying much.
Yeah. Yeah, you're making him sound like a choir boy, Brother Tom.
Set yourself up there.
How about
Tom?
My leg?
His rap sheet's longer than my leg. Does that work?
Okay.
Guys,
yeah,
I'm
6'1".
His rap sheet's longer than my body.
Yeah, I mean, seriously,
I'm sorry.
No, he has some serious, you know, and there's a couple others, you know, there's some other cases now where you see this is happening, where people have been, you know, they've been kicked loose by judges, like, multiple times. And you know what? You know, we're blaming judges, but sometimes a judge, you know, gets 20 cases across, and, you know, is it the guy from El Salvador who knocked over a fruit stand, or the guy who actually killed someone? You know, well, you kind of got it. So it escalates and all that, we can say, but it's a problem.
It's a snowball. It's a rolling snowball, and that's why I say we're at a tipping point. Pretty soon, it's just all going to be out of control.
Yeah.
Not that it's not already. Some people will argue it's already totally out of control,
right. But
it's only going to get worse before it gets better. There's no other alternative. I know the laws of physics, mathematics, thermodynamics. Yeah, it's
you know all those.
What
okay.
It is.
Brother Tom. Okay, I'm going
to
bring in Boyd,
anyways.
The Alaskan, and T. Bodie.
I remember Boyd.
And T. Bodie's coming in, too, so we got them all. So, Boyd, we'll start with you. What's on your mind?
Hey, Grandpa, how's it going?
Good. As long as it's not a joke about being a grandpa, I'm good. If you start making fun of me being a grandpa, it won't go well. No.
Well, have you had diaper duty yet?
No, I've not met him in person, only by text and all that stuff. My wife is going out there in a week
duty.
Or so. But, yeah, me and diaper duty. I've never actually, believe it or not, I've been there while it's happening, but I've never actually myself changed a diaper. I'm sure in a couple of years when I'm wearing Depends, I'll be changing my own, but that'll be good practice.
It'll be good practice.
I haven't changed the diaper either.
Let me just say this then. Then you're only half a grandpa. Until you get diaper duty and successfully complete that to become grandpa, half grandpa.
Okay, I'll have grandpa. T. Bodie, what's up?
Hey, I got, it might be past tense and lose the punctuation on it, but to defend the judges in Denver out of Colorado, the three that dissented out of the seven were all graduates of Colorado colleges for their law degree, and
yeah.
the four that voted for it were all Ivy League.
I did not know that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And then the other thing was the prof that taught Judeo-Christian traditions. Did any of you guys have that class? He was a Birkenstock wearer.
Holstein. Holstein?
Yeah, Jay Holstein. Jay Holstein,
yeah,
you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
And what you guys failed to mention about these Birkenstock wearers, it's when they wear socks that makes it stand out.
Actually, Birkenstock wearers really consider themselves fashion plates, so they dispense with the socks. however, they are big on wearing knee-length shorts with turtlenecks. They do knee-length shorts with turtlenecks. Somehow that's a fashion statement. But
hey, tell the funny story real quick about you, me, and T-Bone when we were walking from the car to the ball game.
Remember which that funny one? Story?
Which one?
Right. The one where you said, all right, we got to go to the game. It's about a half a mile walk. And you said me and T-Bone were stuffing beer stuff.
Oh, yeah. So T. Bodie, for those that want to hear it, T. Bodie and Tommy and I were at the Citrus Bowl, actually then the Capital One Bowl, when Iowa won the last play against LSU. And so we're just south, for those that know Orlando, we're just south of the 408. We're in a lot there. And we had a tailgate. We've been tailgating all day. And we're walking. I said, we got to get going to the game. It's time to go. So I'm like taking a beer, two beers for the road. And T. Bodie and Brother Tommy are stuffing beers into their pockets. They've got like four beers. And I'm like, well, I think, and I didn't think about it. I'm like, oh, this will be a two-beer walk. And both of you guys look at me. It's like, this is a four-beer walk. I mean, one of you, I don't remember if one of you or both of you said it, but it's like, is there a place to pick up an extra on the way in? The stadium.
You forget that we walked with full beers, but we stopped at that LSU tailgate and it got some. They gave us some gumbo, and we got a beer from them too.
I did forget that. I just remember Hank's colossal fuck up with charcoal. He had one duty: get charcoal. And then it wouldn't light. And he says to me, well, you know, come to think of it, I left it outside and it rained. And I'm like, you fucking idiot. Just put me in charge of the charcoal. I'm not rich, but I can come up with $5, you fucking moron. And so we had, and Hank always takes credit for saying, hey, wasn't that great of me for going to those LSU guys and getting charcoal?
No,
and
I didn't get it. No, I did not get it. I got it from an Iowa fan. I did get it from an Iowa fan.
Wasn't it great of me to go get the charcoal? I'm like, no. It was awful of you to have fucked up in the first place. You had one duty, two duties, driving and charcoal that's flammable, that's not being rained on.
It wasn't just being rained on. It had literally sat out in my open shed through all of hurricane season. I mean, like the humidity level inside that bag of charcoal was somewhat record setting. I mean, it was not going to... Speaking of which, you know,
hey,
keep up with the
paddleboarding real quick, Hank. Inventory control ain't gonna be your job, trust me.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You gotta protect that charcoal. You gotta protect that charcoal.
I know. So hey, Rick's
damn
gotta
right.
go, but Rick, thanks for being on. It's great talking to you, and hope we talk more in the next few weeks and months. So Rick had to go. But thanks for being on, Rick. I'm going to let him mute out so he doesn't accidentally stay on the line and then, you know, do something crazy, like kill someone or something. No, I'm kidding.
Laugh? Okay. Like laugh?
Yeah. No. Yeah. We won't be able to hear that. So Nikki Haley has dropped out, or should I say her funders have dropped out. Two questions for – and I'll start with Boyd. Does she ultimately support Trump, do you think?
After the convention, I think she'll come around. But I wouldn't count on it.
Okay. And what about her funders? Do you think they put their money toward Biden, or do you think they'll back Trump? The Republican portion of her funders, I should say.
Well, like the Koch brothers,
I think they'll go with Trump. The Koch brothers will go with Trump.
Yeah, okay. Mike, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, I kind of agree with Boyd on that. I think that she'll probably come around because for her own selfish purpose, she wants to have any future, you know, for 28, right? It'll be an open shot then because Trump can't run. She better be a team player or she's finished. As far as, like, the funding, you have to, of course, a lot of the people that are funding her campaign were just doing it because they're anti-Trump. So no, they won't go over. Now, there might be some Republicans, like I think Boyd mentioned the Koch brothers, that have traditionally been Republican. It seems like they sat it out with Trump in 16 and 20, although I'm not positive. But they may come around, but most of her support is coming from the Democratic side, her fundraisers, I mean, the money behind her. You know, probably borrowed money there. I wouldn't be surprised. So it's all about. You know, she was the anti-Trump. So you know, even if she'd won the nomination, a lot of the people that were voting for her and a lot of people that were funding her would go back to the Democrats, even if she became the nominee.
Yeah,
they're just doing it. It's not the Democrats.
And that, of course, is the ultimate Trump derangement syndrome. I mean, that's just so. A little quick swerve here. So Mitch McConnell, otherwise known as Bitch McConnell, has stepped down as Senate Minority Leader. Mike, you had mentioned a couple months ago, or way back when Rick Scott challenged him as Minority Leader, you thought Scott might be finished in D.C. You think McConnell stepping down and the fact Scott's still around, you think Scott's maybe he's not going to run for Minority Leader, but you think his career can be revived a little bit, or do you think he can become a player in the Republican Party?
Yeah, I think so. I don't really think he hurt himself, you know. He's up for re-election this year, isn't he?
He is up in 2024. Yes, you're right. He is.
He's probably going to cruise to re-election. I think Republicans will do pretty well in Florida across the board in November. But, I don't think so. Especially with McConnell stepping down, some people will say, hey, you know, he had the guts to do it, you know, before. And you know, let's make no mistake about it. McConnell stepping down because he can see the writing on the wall. You know, Trump hates his guts.
Yeah.
And I think there was getting to be a growing discontent with the guy, even among the a lot of the Republicans in the Senate.
Well, let's give him a little credit too. He also has had some health issue challenges recently, so
yes,
I don't.
That's true.
You know,
and
I don't want to discount
that. Further than that, let's give him a lot of credit. He's almost single-handedly stopped Merrick Garland's appointment to the Supreme Court. Remember, after Scalia died, he said we're not voting. I mean, and that was huge because then Trump wins and gets three appointees, and the Democrats are still not over that.
Yeah,
they haven't gotten over that.
And frankly,
that was
a great
service he did to the country.
Yeah, and Kevin McCarthy said that was one of the things McCarthy mentioned on Levin's show was the fact that, you know, McConnell worked for, you know, alongside conservative causes, not just with him on certain stuff, but also, you know, he I forgot to mention that. He did the that was a huge, huge service. I mean, can you imagine Merrick Garland on the Supreme Court at this point? Is there anybody here? Raise your hand. Is there anybody here who thinks Merrick Garland would have been good for the Supreme Court in any way, shape, or form?
The only thing worse than being Attorney General is if he'd been on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, exactly. So
that last vote would have been 8-1.
Yeah. No kidding.
What was that? I missed that one. What was that?
He said that last vote would have been 8-1. Oh my God, that's so good. I mean, I don't know. I guess he can be Olbermann's hero. That may be the way to look at that. So, and here's another thing, and whoever gets in first on this one, I'll take you first. So RFK weighed in on the McConnell thing, and he says Rand Paul would be a great replacement and that he sees Rand Paul really working for the country. Here's my question. Is RFK smoking Colorado stuff or drinking Colorado water, or is he actually serious?
No, he's
a little bit crazy like a fox when he said it. There's rumor now that he's gonna get to go for the Libertarian nomination, and the reason that's important is because his whole problem as an independent running for president, if he does it just as an independent, is ballot access to the state. Libertarians already have it. Their nominee has ballot access to all 50 states. So if they put RFK as their nominee, he's on every ballot, and that's a nightmare for Democrats.
Yeah.
RFK has got or used to have a D next to his name, but I'll tell you what, and I know this sounds freaking crazy.
They drummed him out of the party.
Yeah. Exactly. But this sounds crazy, but I actually think a lot of his shit is good. I really do.
Gabbard is kind of the same way, right? She was kind of, you know.
She went Democrat, Hawaii. Well, you got to be a Democrat in Hawaii.
Well,
you're not going to win in Hawaii.
Neither one of those two found themselves more and more at odds with the way the Democratic Party's going.
Absolutely. RFK, he gets a little bit conspiratorial, which is his prerogative.
Yeah.
But, no, I will take him over any other Democrat. Hawkeye Mike just said, maybe Tulsi Gabbard I would take over RFK. But, yes, they're, to me, the most reasonable. I keep saying Democrat, ex-Democrats. How's that?
Exactly.
Well, what did Doc and Eddie and the Cruiser say? Just because we're conspiracy theorists doesn't mean they ain't after, or just because we're paranoid doesn't mean they ain't after us or whatever.
I got a fun fact for you guys, that Jones whatever. You guys know what I'm talking about. Talk show guy, Jones, the
Alex
conspiratorial
Jones.
One. I just heard this this morning on Joe Rogan's show. Joe Rogan's like, yeah, the guy's a conspiratorial, or theorist. He says, but I'll tell you what. Motherfucker told me 10 years ago about this place called Epstein Island. And Joe Rogan was like, at the time, I was like, you're so full of shit. But he's like, he was right. So sometimes conspiracies start as conspiracies, but they end up being realities. Yeah.
Peabody can attest to this
The thing is, we on the right are going to have to go out and get a lot more conspiracy theories going, because all the ones that we had going have all turned out to be true.
Exactly. That was Rogan's point. That was Rogan's point.
But T. Bodhi can attest to this. Jim Hoff of the Gateway Pundit will sometimes put stuff out there, and Vito has pointed out to me too. You know, he puts it out there, and you're like, wow, okay, Jim. And then a week later, when they're not losing their Twitter account or something, but a week or a month later, it comes up flat out true. I mean, they he knows what's going on. He's and he tells truth. He's not going to put stuff out there that's BS. And so, T-Bone, you talked to him at all recently?
The difference between conspiracy theory and the truth is about 6 weeks.
you have to be careful, though. You don't want to get your imagination can run wild. Remember, Rush Limbaugh had that funny story you always told about the Keepers of Odd Knowledge Society, Cecil Caldwell of Penobscot, Maine, the president of the Keepers of Odd Knowledge Society, the KOOKS. But you got to be careful, because it was hilarious, actually. But anyway. He was talking about there used to be something called the conspiracy.
Who are you talking to?
Which was worldwide. Now, the funny thing about this is it's probably true. It was, and that conspiracy goes, there is a worldwide elite found in the inner harbors of the Trilateral Commission
and the Bilderberg and Rothschild societies, the worldwide elite that control and manipulate all power in the West, in the Western world anyway.
Right.
And
that's
actually an
elitist model in political science. That's an elitist model. They actually believe that.
But I'm starting to think there's a lot of truth to it.
Well,
Jimmy Carter was a member of the Trilateral Commission, and a lot of people think that's why he got
it. The Rockefellers and all those people.
Vito
and I have talked about this before. And look, Vito and I are not bragging when we say this, but we've talked about it before. We've talked about stuff on our shows, and just out of thin air, and then suddenly, like a week later, Hannity would be coming. I even had some stuff I talked about that Rush Limbaugh was talking about like several days later, and it's like, really? I can't believe I came up with this or whatever. But my whole thing about the Barack Obama paddleboard incident, they said they weren't at home. Of course, it turns out he was there with the person being questioned. I asked, why wasn't this happening? It wasn't talked about. And like literally a week later, it suddenly became, oh, by the way, he wasn't wearing his leash. Well, they had never even mentioned that. I don't think any of them knew what the hell a paddleboard leash was or is. And suddenly it's like, oh, by the way, he was not wearing his leash. And it's so it makes you wonder. And Vito's had
a problem
where they talk about stuff.
The problem with you is you can get overly conspiratorial. I'll never forget the time you were telling me the story about how when we were in Scotland, you were looking at the lake, you saw the Loch Ness Monster, then Bigfoot crossed your path, and then you looked up and the Apollo 1 blew up because it couldn't get out of the air. I mean, Hank, you're a little over the top on that.
Yeah, but all those things happen. So,
well,
fair enough. Fair enough.
How about here's Victoria Nuland when she exposed all the labs in Victoria Nuland when she exposed all the labs over in Ukraine that they didn't want to talk about. They mentioned that a year ago, and then no one talked about it until now with her they're quitting and she's getting out because she knows Biden.
She just left, right? She just left office.
Yeah.
Guys, help me out. Who's Victoria Nuland, and what are these labs in Ukraine? Help me out. Pretend I'm a golden retriever.
She's like the undersecretary of Ukraine. She's the one that's behind all the corruption in Ukraine that began with the Bidens, and she's been in on everything. She's an undersecretary ambassador or something to Ukraine. And
what's going on with the labs? What's going on with labs? You lost me on that one too.
They have a whole bunch of labs over there that we do.
Biological
labs.
Okay.
I'm trying to think who it was that was questioning her, interviewing her. Mario, the guy from Florida.
Marco Rubio. Yeah.
He was interviewing her about the possibility of bioweapons that Russia would set off in Ukraine, and she says, "Well, not so much the bioweapons; it's the bio labs that we're really concerned about them coming to get." And they tried to bury that sucker that came out of her.
Wow, I did not know that. Wow.
So, there's a lot of corruption in Ukraine.
Nuland was the classic sort of State Department left-wing, feed operator, Blinken, all those people that are just – they've been screwing up for time immemorial.
Yeah, I just haven't been following it. I haven't been following it, so that's my ignorance.
There's a great scene in the movie that characterizes this, and it's called Moon Over Parador. I don't know if Hank remembers it with Richard Dreyfuss. He has to impersonate the dictator. Remember, Jonathan Winters has a small role, and he plays the ugly American tourist, and then he shows up after he becomes president as the station chief of the CIA, and he gets in the car with him. He's like, to string things up and get in line. And he goes, and for God's sake, stop listening to those faggots at the State Department.
Any joke that has faggots and it's funny to me.
Here's one that actually finally came through.
Well, here, go ahead. Boy.
Is for the last few years, I've been watching this guy on Monkey Works. That's the name of the site. and he tracks all military and government aircraft flying around. And
right.
For the last, you've heard of Monkey Works. Anyway,
yeah,
for the last the last 5 years or so, 4 years, we've been watching this one outfit called Swift Air, which was on charter to the United States government, and that is the migrant moving machine. Airplanes, and we've watched them go down. We watched them go down south, over to all of the countries down in Latin America and stuff like that, and flying back, and have always figured that they were picking up people and flying them into the United States. And what just came out the last couple days.
Yep. Trump just mentioned it, 1,000 people a day or something like that. Yep.
They've been flying across the border.
Illegal immigrants are flying across the border now, not only walking across it, they're flying across it. Trump said that in his speech last night. Yeah.
Yeah, they've been doing that.
Yes, that's the number Trump used.
They've been doing that for years.
That's the point. They've been doing it for years. So just do the numbers, 1,000 every week. That's what Boyd's saying, this thing called Swift Air. Trump was bringing it up last night, and I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, 340,000 have been flown across the border. I'm just like, wow, I'll take your word for it, even though you can be hyperbolic. But, yeah, that's what Trump was saying last night.
You know what?
Well,
this is
where
Trump's good speech. All the pundits said it
was. All these groups of the thing that should really scare you is in all these groups that are coming in, there's like there was a statistic like 40,000 Chinese people of men, young men of military age. What the hell is that?
That's scary. That's scary. That's just downright scary. Yeah, I don't think people realize what's
Trump,
going on.
Trump,
And then are we sure all those weapons we left behind for the Taliban? Are we sure that they're still there and they're not back in this country? Being stockpiled, waiting for those guys to come along and pick them up.
Yeah.
Well, Trump has lost credibility with me since he hasn't backed my Big Mike theory. So, Brother Tommy, am I right?
Hey, you're telling me about ruining this show with my swearing. If you go down Big Mike Alley, you're going to ruin your own show, Hank. So that's
By the way, Big Mike's press office has just released something the other day that she is not going to be a candidate for president of the United States, dashing the hopes of all.
Not until
all,
her transition.
No, yeah,
her transition from a man to a woman. She's transitioning right now. Once that's complete.
No, I will not be quiet.
Complete,
yeah, Barack has
says,
to approve that
Vito
for her to
the Chinese,
for her to lose
Red
her pee-pee.
China is sending their nationals through the Darien Gap in Panama and northern Colombia. So that's where it's happening. As far as Big Mike goes, I go with what Boyd said. Big Mike is not an announced candidate, but Big Mike will be the choice if they can pull it off.
If you're brave enough, why you call him Big Mike?
He knows.
That conspiratorial theory.
He knows why I call him Big Mike.
I know why.
Because her name, it's really Michael Eugene Robinson, and that's been the whole push to normalize this stuff the last couple of years. I mean, do you really think Dr. Rachel Levine was the most qualified person, and they made her a general? Or how about Sam Brinton? You really think Sam Brinton was brought on to work in our nuclear program, by the way, Mr. Pup Handler? No.
So you're saying Barack Obama is like the real-life version, it's scary, of the crying game?
No, Big Mike is. Big Mike is.
Or Big Mike. I mean, that's Big Mike. Like the, you know,
Big Mike is, yeah. I think it's been that way, and I think what they've worked so hard to normalize is that Big Mike
can... We got a new crying game situation.
I think Brother Tommy has renamed it. It's now the hysterically laughing game, but... still, I just think
funny the concept.
Well, you're the one who Googled it and then found out I wasn't BSing.
No, but what you said, the thing, your support for it is pictures don't lie. Oh, yeah, you're right, Hank. There's no such thing as photoshopping. I mean, come on.
I'm sorry. Nobody in their right mind photoshops a crank onto a woman unless it's real. That just doesn't happen. Men, normal people don't do that. Normal people don't photoshop a crank onto a woman. I'm just saying.
I think it was T. Bodie that said, in 6 months, I'm going to realize it's true.
Is it some sort of a sex change, a transgender thing?
I don't know. I mean, you know, the joke has been for a while is like what?
Like her, Hank. They end up looking like that woman that's the head of the NIH. You know, what's her, that Admiral woman?
I put Rachel in quotes.
Ugly man to being an extremely ugly woman.
You know,
that's what happens with
Vito and I talked about this one time. I don't know if it was a real picture, but they had her like in a pink dress with like pigtails, and it was like I'm literally watching like a Benny Hill episode where they make that old guy a little girl. Remember the old bald guy on Benny Hill? And they made him a little girl. That's what I feel like I'm watching when I see that. I mean, it's like this is not and that guy, the Sam Brinton, the pup handler who got arrested, by the way, stealing women's luggage. I got to believe that there are more qualified people out there to be in the administration, any administration.
Well, I'll tell you what.
And I think that's the whole point was to normalize it, to get it normalized, to fast-track normalization, so when it comes time with Dopey Joe, as they knew he would, when he goes face-ass down in a bowl of ice cream, totally incoherent, they're going to be able to put Big Mike in, and if when somebody says, you know, doing scrutiny, says, by the way, this might be a dude, they can say, so what? You know, everybody.
Well, I'm going to make a confession.
How courageous!
I'm going to make a confession real quick. I'm going to make a confession.
Confession. T-Body was saying something. Go ahead.
He's been transitioning too. Is that what you said? I'm going to break in. I've been working on something.
I don't know if it's. I think it's just a dude and. Dressing up as a gal who maybe he gets into that or whatever. I don't know.
My confession is going to hint to my sexual perversion. Big Mike or Michelle, I'd bang him or her. So how's that?
You're sick. You just went down in my book. You went way down in my book.
I think she's beautiful, personally.
Like I said, you're sick and you've gone way down in my book.
You don't think she's pretty?
Michelle Obama?
Anyway.
Michelle Obama? She didn't do much for
no,
me.
No, I do.
Absolutely not. No.
Well, you know, you should probably go do us all
see
a favor.
See if that psychiatrist.
And go romance her and find out for sure.
Brother Tommy here. It's official. It's Big Mike. It's not Michelle.
It's a Danny Bonaduce moment. Don't you remember what happened with him? He was in Phoenix. I was living down there. He picked up some street prostitute. It turned out it was a guy.
Who did that?
He beat the shit out of the person.
Who did that? Who did that happen to?
Danny Bonaduce.
Danny Partridge?
Yeah.
I remember Hugh Grant was one, and
Hugh Grant did that. Yeah.
Hugh Grant and Eddie Murphy both supposedly picked up female who were guys, which, you know, I think that if that's not a lesson to the rest of every man in America, like just stay home, guys. Take your loss. If you're not happy, take your loss and just watch The Voice or whatever, but don't go looking for prostitutes. Probably Big Mike. I mean,
I read a fictional account.
Person.
I read a fictional account where Yeah, I read a fiction book where a guy's getting off on Paris off a bus because he likes these whores. And his buddy says, no, those aren't women, they're trannies. And he's like, what? And he says, yeah, they look beautiful because they have better cheekbones, but they're trannies. And so that's where the Hugh Grants of the world and the Eddie Murphys fucked up.
Yeah, I don't
think
Divine Brown was not so divine then, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Which begs the question, Paul, are you
the
gay
woman
if it feels good?
That's the woman he picked up. Yeah.
What's the question, T-Bodie?
So that begs the question, are you gay if the blowjob felt good?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes.
We are deteriorating fast. And Vito's
maybe
in the chat room.
Let's give up
Vito's
the
in the
of
chat
the
room
buy,
probably
okay.
just Vito's in the chat room right now just going, oh my God, they are off the rails. Hank, I'm gonna
That's
be
right.
getting a call tomorrow. Hank, you lost it. You guys
we
lost
have not sworn at all.
We've
created
all
imagery, we have not sworn.
All it's gonna do to Vito is he's gonna go out to the links tomorrow and he'll make some tremendous drives. Because he's thinking it's your head, Hank.
Yeah, he probably is. I'm going to tee Hank up on this thing.
His distance level from you, Hank, is going to be a little bit more. If it's usually 3 feet, he's going to be staying 5 feet away from you. Only because you sanctioned this nonsensical conversation.
He's just going to have to walk a little farther to get to his balls.
By the way, for the golf discussion next week, Hank, we're going to be bringing John Huntington on. So you know.
No.
Was he the one that did that weird dance move?
Yes, he is the one that did that dance. T-Bodie, did you ever golf with him?
I never golfed with him, but if you'll recall, I refereed with him for all that year.
To give you an idea.
Here's Huntington on the golf course. He goes, John, what did you get on that hole? Oh, let's see. Three.
Vito says he's more angry about brother Tommy wanting to do Big Mike. I agree. No, Vito's going to appreciate this. I'm going to redeem myself with Vito. Vito should hear this.
Quick disclaimer, Bob.
No, you already said it. You're done. Right now.
No.
So but Huntington on the
been, my wife has been chilly with me lately. I'll do anything. My wife has been really chilly with me lately. I haven't been on my best behavior. So that's my disclaimer, Vito.
No. So to give you an idea, Vito will appreciate this. So our buddy John, we were out golfing one day at Finkbine Golf Course, which is the Iowa City, university course. And he lands in a sand trap, and Mike remembers that he lands in a sand trap, so he's standing there about to hit the ball, doesn't like the angle, so he takes his club blade, just digs out a hole behind the ball to hit out of the trap. You remember that, Mike? You remember when he did that?
He
dug a moat. I mean, the fact it still took him like 3 shots to get out of the trap, but he dug like a moat around that ball to try to get out of the trap. It was rather humorous.
He broke my pink vine today. It's alive and well.
It is?
It just occurred to me. This is like public knowledge, my statement about Big Mike. I thought it was on a group phone call. Jesus Christ, I fucked that one up.
You're supposed to be like the guy in Pulp Fiction. Prank phone call. So, okay, real quick, for T-Bone, Tommy. Go ahead, Pep Boyd.
I was going to say, do you remember Joan Rivers when she said they were both queers?
When she said who? Or?
No.
She said both the Obamas were?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
They were queer as a $3 bill.
Sure, I'm not surprised.
I didn't know that either.
And then she died shortly afterwards.
But that was going in for like her 12th facial surgery or whatever, I think was what happened there. So
But Boyd's going down your conspiratorial line that you fuck with the Clintons or you fuck with the Obamas, you're
going to
die.
She knew she was going down, so she just blurted it out. I'm going to believe that to the day I die. Sorry. Okay,
She's missed too. She was. All right, go ahead, Hank. I'm sorry.
Real quick, so we're going to swerve it back into, can the Lady Hawkeyes win the Big Ten tournament for a third straight year? T. Bodie, start with you.
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think they're going to pull it off. I think Ohio State beats them in the rematch.
Really?
Okay.
I don't know.
Mike, your thoughts?
You know what? I wouldn't bet against Caitlin Clark. I don't know.
Right.
I think that the question is not so much the Big Ten. It's can they do it in the NCAA?
Right.
That wasn't the one posed.
Okay, so Brother Tommy, I'll ask you, can they win the Big Ten tournament for a third straight year?
Echo T. Bodie's sentiment, it's a coin toss, 50-50.
Okay, how far can they go in the NCAA? Do they get out of the first weekend in the NCAA tournament? Brother Tommy, I'll ask you first since you follow them more closely than anyone. Do they get out of the first weekend?
The first weekend, what are we talking? That gets them to the Sweet 16. They can, 75 percentile chance. They can get upset in the second round.
Okay, so where's this team? I mean, it's not as good as last year's team, you don't think. Am I correct?
I know it's not because you don't have Cineros or whatever her name is, the big girl. And, hey, they got character.
Wait,
but,
you think
she's
much better than Stokey, though? I think she's tremendously better than Stokey.
Stokey, I like. She's got high notes. Best transitional big gal I've ever seen in my life. That being said, she misses too many bunnies, and she's young, and it's T. Bodie said it perfectly. If Caitlin Clark is Superman every day, yes, they can go pretty much close to all the way. They're going to lose to either LSU or South Carolina at best case scenario. They won't beat either one of those two. But
LSU,
Superman,
what makes you say that? LSU has been struggling a lot this year.
LSU does not give a shit about December. They give a shit about March. That's what people don't understand. And they don't give a fuck if they're a 3 seed or a 4 seed. If you look at the NIL we're talking about and the transfer portal, they got like 7 5-stars. They don't care about December. What, you're going to put us at a 4 seed or 3 seed? We don't give a fuck. We're going to beat everyone, but we're going to beat them in March, not December. December, we don't give a fuck. We'll let what's-her-name, All-American.
Angel Reese.
We'll let her have her little fit.
Do they rein in Coach Kim Mulkey? Do they let her continue to run up and down the sidelines the way she did? They can't do that again. There's no way.
I doubt it. She's Bobby Knight of women's basketball.
Yeah.
She gets a pass because of her reputation, just like Krzyzewski, just like Phil Jackson. I mean, you name it. The best coaches always get a pass. But, no, I think it's theoretically possible we go to the championship game. I just don't think it's probable. And same thing with the Big Ten tournament. One of the guys said that Ohio State, I'm telling you, Michigan State and Nebraska are not bad, and Indiana is very good. Look at Indiana's record. They've got 4 losses. Yeah. Indiana should be 2 in the country, not Iowa or not Ohio State. Their losses are to quality teams. So that's all right. Go ahead, Bob. Hank.
I'm going to go to
get into the Final Four, but I think you're right. I think they don't quite have enough to get to win it.
The other players are a little bit too inconsistent.
Bobby Marshall play naked.
Gabby Marshall's going to be crucial, but she's inconsistent.
They need to let Gabby Marshall play naked. My vote.
Oh, God. I was telling my wife, holy shit. Please tell me she's not a lesbian like all other women basketball players. She's doing this world a disservice. And number four or number three, one of them is good, too.
Yeah, okay, that's
absolutely gorgeous. Hank, just so you know, she looked like in her prime Nancy Hill. That's what she looks like.
I know who she looks like. I've seen her before. I mean, I just don't watch the
games. Oh, you told me you never watched the games.
I know. I've watched one or two of them this year. But I watched their whole run last year and everything. So, you know, just the tournament.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's swerve to the
gorgeous.
Men. I'll swerve to the men. Mike, you've watched more than anybody of the men. Where are we? I mean, I'm seeing that right now we're on the bubble that we're, like, first four out or whatever.
I'm optimistic because I like this team more every game. They're finishing strong. If they beat Illinois, they'll be first four in, and then if they can just win their initial game in the Big Ten tournament, that gets them 20. I think they're in.
Yeah, but then they're going to, assuming they don't get to the Big Ten championship or that they only win their first game, that makes them 20-13. Does that?
Yeah, but they'll have several quad ones, and they do
quad one wins
this.
Yep.
And
yeah,
I think they're going to get it. I think they're close now. Like you said, their last four out, they just had that big win at Northwestern, who's a tournament team. It was a big quad win. That was Northwestern's first home loss of the year. And they get Illinois at home. They almost beat them
It was their first Big Ten home loss. First Big Ten home loss. They lost to Chicago State at home.
I thought it was their first home loss of the year.
No, it was
according to BTN this morning, they did lose to Chicago State at home.
Oh, did they? Okay. Yeah. All right. My mistake. But Illinois, Illinois all they wanted at Illinois. I think they got everything to play for. I think they're going to beat them. And that really puts them in a catbird seat. If they just get one win in the tournament, I think they're going to be in the big dance.
Well, I mean,
ask my opinion because Mike just summed up exactly what I think. All right, go ahead.
But I do think they don't have a margin for error. They got to beat Illinois, and they probably need to win their first game in the Big Ten tournament.
I would agree 100%.
Now, in our lifetime, is Fran McCaffrey ever going to get out of the first weekend? Anywhere he's been, Siena, wherever, he's never gotten a team out of the first weekend in the NCAA. So he's not done.
You know
it with
what?
Us.
You want to know why, Hank? I'm going to tell you why real quick.
Because
LSU's
he's lost.
Coach. No, LSU's coach. He's playing for December. LSU's women's coach is playing for March. She knows what she's doing, and he doesn't know how to strategically finagle it. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, he's had some good teams.
He's not going to get out of the first round.
He has had some good teams that absolutely flamed out come.
Yep.
But, to get back to the Iowa men for a second, I think you got to say the development of some of the talent has been, to me, a little bit unexpected. I didn't see this certainly at the beginning of the year. I thought we had some potential. But the way Josh Dix and Adam Freeman have come along, and I also think this Brock Harding looks pretty good. But then, of course, with Perkins and Sanford, I mean, we're pretty, a team you don't want to play right now.
We're as hot as anyone in the country right now. And Perkins, 14 assists. I don't think anyone that doesn't play basketball or played basketball understands. That's no easy task. Perkins is the general. And if you get Dix hot and you got Sanford, now you got to cover three guys that can shoot. That's a trouble for other teams. So I agree.
Freeman has been a force in the inside, and that Cricky is not bad either.
Yeah, Cricky was a good – he was a good one-year, one-and-done portal guy. And teams got to have that, And I got to say, Fran played that one well. He's not super consistent, but he's been a very serviceable, if not good, player. So –
Team's definitely an enigma to me. I've seen them be absolutely miserable, and I've seen them be absolutely fabulous. The team's an enigma to me, so Hawkeye Mike would know more than I do. But I agree
Mike said. I'm impressed with him keeping Patrick, his son, out of the starting lineup. I think that
it's a smart move.
Don't you think Patrick does better when he comes in off the bench and
takes
some shots?
Absolutely.
Let me tell you guys something right now. Patrick does not want to start. He doesn't want to start.
No, I agree.
He's got anxiety.
He had some problem.
Like,
he almost quit the team.
Yes, he's got anxiety and stuff. He's like, Dad, if you need me, but truth be told, Dad, this is stressing me out. I've got otherworldly problems. And Fran finally said, okay, and he finally got it right. Patrick doesn't want to start. I'm telling you, I can read by his body language and stuff. So, yeah, that's an absolutely accurate observation, what you said.
By the way, what do you guys think of Dembele guy?
He's
a pretty good contributor, I think.
Yeah, he is.
Who the fuck are you guys talking about?
He's the guy from
Laji Dembele. He's a freshman, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, him. He's good.
Yeah, I knew you were going with that. So, anyway, hey, we're down into the crunch time, so I want to sign off, but I want to thank you guys for being on. It was very entertaining. It was much better than I was expecting. But again, when you got a Keith Olbermann and Puffin Stuff Pupke writing the stuff they do, a show like this literally writes itself when you got that kind of contribution. I gotta give credit to those guys for the show. I really do.
If you think it's not going to be getting even goofier over between now and November 5th, you're not living in reality, man.
I know. It is going to be good. So I'm going to sign off. But guys, we'll talk to y'all later, and thanks for being on.
Good talking to all of you.
Later, guys.
Good talking.
I want to thank Boyd and T. Bodie and Brother Tommy and Mike for coming on, and Rick from our hometown, mine and Brother Tommy's hometown, for coming in and joining the show. It's great to have new listeners. It's always great to have people here. I want to thank a lot of chat room tonight. Duck was here earlier, Snowman James. He had to leave, evidently. I don't blame him sometimes. Vito came in a little bit, not right on the button, but Vito came in to contribute some stuff in the chat room. Indy Hawk, part of our thread that our Iowa guys get going. Joe Gibson came in. Joe was a candidate in North Carolina and for their state house, and if you want to listen to his show, Restoring Our Republic, maybe I'll have him on next week, talk about what happened in his campaign. Boyd the Alaskan, of course, for being on the phones and being in the chat room. You can't beat that, doing double duty. In the meantime, I had wanted to play this song because I don't know why. It's just things are looking up in a lot of ways, the way I'm seeing it. So I'll leave you with this. Have a great rest of your week. Have a great weekend. And let's just say that the Beatles were right on this one. Good night, folks.
Bye-bye.